Secretary will please take the roll.
The roll shows 18 senators present this morning.
Will the Senate please rise for prayer? Pastor Curtis McLean, Glacier Valley Baptist Church.
I pray to you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, that out of the treasures of your glory, you may give strength and power through your Spirit to the Senate in their inner being, that through faith Christ may dwell in their hearts and love. With deep roots and firm foundations, they may be strong to grasp with all God's people what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, and to know it, though it is beyond knowledge, so that they may be filled with your fullness. Amen.
This brings us to the introduction of guests. Does any member have a guest to introduce?
Mr. President, certification of the journal.
Oh, pardon me, sir.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 44th legislative day.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 44th legislative day be approved and certified.
Hear no objection. The journal is certified. Introduction of guests. Does any member have a guest to introduce? Senator Ferencamp.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a longtime friend of mine, Dr. Nilo Copenan from Fairbanks, president of the Geneva Gold Street Fire Department.
Messages from the governor.
February 26, 1980, dear Mr. President. I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Bill No. 684, an act to allow certain investments of the general fund in insured mortgages and providing for an effective date, Chapter 4, Session Laws 1980. Sincerely, J.S. Hamlin, Governor, by Terry Miller, Lieutenant Governor. That is the only message from the governor today.
Messages from the other House?
Message of February 26. The House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. House Bill number 636 amended by Representatives Parker and Martin. An act requiring flags for drivers.
State affair.
Divers, I should say. Committee substitute for House Bill number 645. By the Finance Committee, an act amending and transferring appropriations made in 1979 and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Those are the messages from the House today.
Are there any communications?
We have no communications.
Any reports of standing committees?
There are no standing committee reports.
Any special committee reports?
The Pre-Conference Committee, February 26, 1980, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the Pre-Conference Committee, which has had House Bill number 177 amended, unemployment insurance, and Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 177, amended Senate, under consideration, recommends that Pre-Conference Committee substitute for House Bill number 177, I don't have a copy of it to tell you the title, is adopted.
An act relating to unemployment insurance and providing for an effective day. Agreement was reached in the Pre-Conference Committee. It's a rather thick bill, and with the permission of the body, we'll hold it on the clerk's desk until Friday so that everybody has a chance to go through it and know what they're voting on.
I was in Xerox, so I had a responsibility.
Just hand it out.
It'll be handed out.
Thank you very much.
That is the only special committee report today.
Are there any introduction of resolutions?
No. We have no resolutions.
That'll bring us to the introduction of bill.
Senate Bill number 503 by the Resources Committee. An act establishing a consumer fuel assistance program and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
That is the only Senate bill this morning.
That brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar.
Citation, congratulations to the Sitka High School Wolves, winners of the Southeastern Basketball Tournament by Representative Eliason and Senator Meland.
Senator Kalata?
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the citation congratulating Sitka High School.
I object for a moment, Mr. President.
Objection is noted. Senator Ziegler, you have the floor.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Ray and I be shown as co-sponsors of this resolution, because who knows, we might be running in 1982 in Sitka. Would you mind?
Mr. President.
Senator Meland.
I would rather that they did not. Co-sponsors, it's been 26 long years since the Sitka Wolves has won a tournament. Now, as an interesting aside to that, is the fact that I was talking to a couple of the original players that played on that team 26 years ago, and they're now seeking retirement from their chosen professions. I think that this should be Sitka and Sitka only. Thank you.
I'll withdraw my motion to that eloquent plea. Also, but I would call the Madam Secretary attention to technical amendment on the third paragraph, beginning the legislature wishes to applaud each member of the team for their strike there and insert his, please.
With the English correction, why, I don't think there's any objections to it. Did I say that you wish to withdraw your emotion, or was it? Are there any objections to the passage of the citation?
If
all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Citation has been adopted. That brings us to the bottom of today's calendar, to unfinished business. Does any member have anything on the unfinished business?
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused through March 4th. The reason, like Senator Rader before me, Judge Calamarides, I will be attending a meeting for Chugach Electric in the East and will be gone. I regret being gone for that number of days, but it is important to the people back home.
Mr. President, I object for a minute. May I have an ease, please?
Order. We're on to unfinished business. At this time, I'd like to make a change in my referral on House Bill 636, Resources First, State Affairs Second. And Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, Senator Collette objected to my motion. Did he remove his objections or am I excused?
Oh, pardon me, sir. Objection removed. You are excused from a call of the chair.
Thank you, sir.
Or call of the Senate. Is there anything else under unfinished business?
Mr. President?
Senator Holman.
I'd also like to request excuse from the call of the Senate on March 3rd and 4th for personal business.
Well, hearing no objection, you're excused from the call. Now, down to special orders. Does anyone have anything under special orders? Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the special privilege of the floor.
Without objection, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, yesterday, for the first time in my career in the Senate, I had a personal attack made on me by Senator Sumner. I think it was an uncalled-for attack, because there is no good reason for members of this body to deal in personalities. We're dealing, hopefully, in issues here. At least that's what the people of Alaska expect us to deal in. Certainly, the question of income tax repeal, is a very important question. But there is no need to deal in personalities. I think each one of us can deal with the issue, can differ with our colleagues, do so in a gentlemanly or a ladylike manner, express our own opinions, and express the reservations we have about actions that have been taken by another member, and do so in good taste. I regret that this wasn't done yesterday in Senator Sumner's attack on me. Senator Sumner did not talk to me about my actions during the entire course of the Senate, expressed no concern to me, and I hope that he would. I think that the good senator could learn a great deal by chatting with Senator Bob Ziegler, who has instructed me many times in the courtesy that is due and owing to a senator. I'm not sure what motivated Senator Sumner to make this personal attack, and as I said, Mr. President, it is the first one that I've had during my 6 years in the Senate. And I regret that very much because it demeans all of us in the eyes of the public, particularly when we're talking about important issues and questions that aren't germane to those issues are brought up. I regret the whole incident, and I hope, Mr. President, that it won't happen again. I'm not going to dignify any of the comments by answering them. I think that actions do speak louder than words. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there anything else on the special orders? Announcement of committee meeting. Oh, special orders, Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask permission of the floor for a statement under special order.
You have the floor, Senator.
I would like to stand to say the first time that I've addressed this body on anything that really bothered me, that yesterday did bother me. And I don't see why we can't get on with the work of we have to do here without throwing smoke screens in the way when we know they're useless and they're not going to go anyplace. And this bothered me a great deal. And I just got to say so this time.
President McHugh. Senator Sumner, do you request the floor under special orders?
I request the privilege of the floor under special orders. In terms of a personal attack, I believe that my comments yesterday was limited to what I said was the introduction of what I thought was phony amendments. I didn't say that Senator Rohde was phony. I simply said that I thought the amendments introduced and under the circumstances they were introduced were under phony circumstances. That's what I said, that's what I believe, and that's what I still believe. There is ample opportunity to use the committee process in the promulgation or the input to any of the subjects that we have. It is possible and often done. We have all introduced amendments on the floor. But not when we out front know that it's pulling a bill from committee and procedurally we can't support that. And then introduce them, talk to the chairman, know it's introducing a bill an amendment that would pull a bill from committee, and then get up and make a presentation and extract or withdraw that amendment, when I know, at least on the committees that I sit, that there has not been any input with regards to tax repeal. We don't operate down here simply by invitation. Sometimes it is based on one's own initiative to come forward in the committee process and introduce or offer information, offer effort, offer support, but then to introduce a resolution and make it appear that the rest of the Senate has not been interested in the same subject matter to the same degree puts, in my view, those people who have worked strong and hard for tax repeal in a position that it makes them look like they have not done their work. And that was quite the contrary in what I heard and what I saw happen on the floor yesterday, and thus was the was responsible for the comments that I made. So if he misunderstood my comments and thought I'd called him a phony, my apologies for that. I'll be glad to look at the tapes. I think I said that the amendments were phony. Thank you.
Well, let's see. Senator Stimson hasn't had the floor yet, if you don't mind. Senator Stimson.
Mr. President, it was not my intention to say anything today, but since Senator Sumner is speaking in the plural, I feel as if I have no choice but to make some comments. It's also not my intent to embarrass or make an awkward situation for Senator Mulcahy. But I think that the situation that occurred yesterday and the fact that the amendments that were introduced or referred to as phony is a great enough concern that I need to say a few words. The amendment that I introduced was a suspension amendment. And I was told, it's the first time I received any knowledge of it was when Senator Mulcahy caught me just before the amendment hit the floor, and he said he had a similar bill in committee. It turned out it took quite a while to find that bill, and as it turns out, the bill that was being used as the argument was not clearly a suspension of the income tax. It was rather a bill that repealed the state income tax, and it suspended the oil and gas severance tax, the tobacco product type taxes, and so forth. And so it was not essentially the same bill. It was not, as I said, I had no intention of saying this, but I'm a little disturbed by the course of the conversations that are taking place here on this floor right now. And I'm not willing to accept the fact that the amendment that I introduced was introduced as a phony amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent for the special privilege of the floor to respond to Senator Sumner's comments.
Without objection, you have the floor.
First, Senator Sumner mentions the committee process. Mr. President, there was no committee hearing on this bill in any form that we received it on the floor. And I think everybody in this body knows that. The bill in its original committee substitute form was available Friday afternoon at approximately between 2 and 4 o'clock. It was impossible for any member to get it that working day. And then, of course, the print shop is closed on the weekends. Then, over the weekend, and available only to the members, shortly before we came on the floor at approximately 9 o'clock, was the Rules Committee substitute, which is the final version that we had before us on the floor. So Senator Sumner's comments about any committee process that took place are ridiculous. There was no committee process on this bill. Certainly there are reasons for speeding bills along, and I'm not going to argue that, but certainly I would never chastise one of my colleagues for not participating in the committee process when there isn't one. And there was no committee process on Senate Bill 122, and we all know that. That's why the only forum for dealing with that bill was on this floor, and that's why I dealt with it there. With regard to the amendment regarding repeal, I think it's well known that on occasion bills have been pulled from committee and amendments which do very nearly duplicate bills in committee have been passed on this floor before. Quite frankly, Mr. President, it was a very close question as to whether that bill would pass or not. It was no phony amendment. I put that amendment in. It did take a great deal of time to draft it because it is not an easy matter to repeal income tax. It has to be taken out of a number of sections of the statute. I talked with a number of individual members in this body, asked them their opinion on it. Again, it was a very close question. However, when it's ruled to be a procedural question, even though I might disagree with it because there was no single bill on tax repeal, rather it was a portion of another bill which arguably could be distinguished from the amendment I put on the floor. But still, when it is ruled by the chair, by the committee chairman, more importantly, a committee I serve on, to be a procedural question, I'm not going to abuse my fellow members. I'm not going to force them to choose between the committee system, which is responsible for a great deal of the work that we do here, and responsible for excellent legislation. I'm not going to abuse that system. Instead, I chose to withdraw my amendment, and a number of my colleagues came to me after the session and said, you did the right thing. It would have been a very difficult decision because I support repeal, but I support the committee system also. So my actions yesterday, Mr. President, were to ensure that I didn't abuse my colleagues, something I hope that I never do. And that was the reason for my action. There were no phony amendments, as Senator Sumner said, but rather my strong conviction that this session we need to either repeal, significantly reduce, or suspend the income tax. It is the perception of the people that all of us represent that this should be done. It can be done in conjunction with other proposals to provide benefits to the people. But if we don't meet the expectations of the people that we represent, I think we're going to have real problems, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator Sackett.
I'd like to know what everyone's talking about. I stayed here during the entire time yesterday, during the session, until adjournment, and I don't recall any conversations or accusations going back during session. This must have been evidently a private interview that someone else had with Senator Sumner, which evidently I missed, and it was not during session.
I've been a little baffled myself, but Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, in case any member of the Senate did not see the private interview to Senator Sumner, had the comments weren't made on the floor, and it would have been appropriate to do so. They were made after we adjourned without any comment to myself or Senator Stimson, who was commented on by innuendo. If any member wishes to see the tape, I have the tape here, and they are certainly free to review it at their pleasure.
Mr. President, if that's the case, there are legislators throughout the last 15, 20 years that have given private interviews about other people and made comments. I personally just don't listen to them.
President?
Senator Ray.
This brings to my mind a problem that I have been looking at, and it spotlights it really. Under the Constitution, Article 2, of course, Section 6, it talks about immunities. It says legislators may not be held to answer before any other tribunal for any statement made in the exercise of their legislative duties while a legislature is in session. This could be construed and or interpreted in many different ways, and I've never been able to determine exactly what it means, except in recent years now we have broken our own rules and we allow other people the privilege of the floor, during which is the media, of course, to be on this floor. Some of the interviews that are conducted within the chambers give the evidence that this is to somebody that is not cognizant of really what's going on. It gives the impression that these interviews are part of the legislative duties or they're part of the legislative action that's taken place. When they aren't, they're just private interviews. I think, Mr. President, that I would request you possibly to get an opinion from our legislative affairs just exactly as to what this one section means and how we should conduct ourselves in the future so that we do abide by our uniform rules. Now, I don't mind people, if it's necessary and if it's agreeable with the body or with the House and the uniform rules, to allow the media the privilege of being on this floor. However, if it's going to cause some disturbance among the membership itself in relation to after-session interviews, then I would suggest that no more after-session interviews be held upon the floor of this Senate. And if they're going to interview somebody, let it be out in the hallways or in a committee room, but not on the floor of the Senate.
Senator Ray, the immunity of a legislator carries to the hall, too. The immunity of a legislator, as to his remarks, carried to anywhere he might be while in the performance of his legislative duties or while the legislature's in session. So I don't think it's a legal problem. I don't think Senator Rohde ever presented as a legal problem, more as a courtesy problem. And I'll take your advice as to to look into what is taped here on the floor of the Senate. But I, you know, unless something is brought up different, I don't think there was any violation suggested here, was there, of law?
Well, that's the thing that I don't know, Mr. President. And I, if you don't know, and you've been here longer than I have, and I don't know, then I would say that possibly some of the other members don't know either. And as far as legislative duties, I'd like an interpretation of what legislative duties means. If is it the legislator's duty to appear and say things, or and I'm not remarking on anybody here, and myself, I have a TV program every Saturday in which I say certain things. Am I immune during that 2 hours, and I could call you what I think you really are?
Yeah.
Which is a very nice person, is what I mean.
Senator, Ray, I think your privilege extends anywhere you might be while the legislature is in session. Senator Rohde.
A parliamentary inquiry, Mr. President. It's my understanding that a legislator's immunity exists only on this floor. I recall very vaguely an incident in the House of Representatives a number of years ago where a member made some very damaging statements about an individual on the floor. That private citizen challenged him to come out in the hall and make those statements. He did, and it evidently cost him a large sum of money to make those statements out in the out in the hall after legal actions were taken. And perhaps that's a point that ought to be clarified, though. I am suggesting that there are no legal improprieties. It is a question of courtesy, I believe.
Yes, sir. I can check that one out just for the curiosity of it, but I have always been under the understanding that anywhere a legislator is in this building or in a committee building, that his immunity carries with him. But
I personally know of, Mr. President, an occasion that happened where one of the members of this legislature was arrested twice in the same day for the same offense. And was incarcerated both times. So. Beg your pardon?
Very interesting discussion.
Put in a clink,
shall we
all right?
Continue this somewhere else besides the floor of the Senate? Do we have announcement of committee meetings? Senator Ziegler.
The judiciary will be taking up the two bills that are going to be up here tomorrow, 1:30, Central 3:40, Central 4:38.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, the Senate Commerce Committee will meet at 3 p.m. tomorrow in the Bell's Room for the sunset hearing of the Guy Licensing Control Board for the public. The hearing for the members of the board has already been accomplished, and it will be teleconference.
Senator Sumner.
1:30 today, Buckovich Room, Senate Bill 345, Senate Resolution 20, Committee Substitute House Bill 599, Senate Bill 189, will post the subject matter on the bill.
Senator Sturgeon-Busky.
Yes, Senate Community and Regional Affairs tomorrow at 1:30, Buckovich Room action on the Anchorage, Haines, and Annette Island Indian Reserve Coastal Management Plans. Joint meeting on Friday from in House Hess, room 112, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., we'll be hearing the Skagway annexation petition. I expect that will be in both of those action meetings.
Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, Senate Hess at 3 o'clock today, sunset hearings in connection with the State Physical Therapy Board and the Chiropractic Board, and also a short presentation by a member of the Governor's Advisory Council on Community Mental Health.
Senator Holman.
Mr. President, the budget audit meets, I think, this afternoon. The time will be posted on the board to nominate for sunset review the agencies for the next year. The procedure is, I guess, that the budget audit committee introduces the bill. It has to be done by the 1st of March, so we're going to consider those nominees today.
Senator Sackett.
Finance tomorrow.
At this time, I'd like to ask the chairman to come to the majority leader's room, and we'll have to just touch base on the flow of business. It probably won't take but just a very few minutes. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, notice to the members on Wednesday, March the 5th, the photographer will be here for pictures. Everyone's going to be here. Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent. Senate adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Senate stands.